Welcome to Baptist Perspective with Jimmy Barber. Whether you're listening while driving home from work, sitting with a hot cup of coffee, or making dinner, we hope this podcast will be thought-provoking and edifying. Now, here with today's episode is Jimmy Barber.
When we speak of sanctification and the growth of the believer in Christ, we do not mean that each child of grace will reach the same level of maturity or manifest the same degree of faith in his service unto the Lord. As we are individuals naturally and possess different skills and talents in the physical world, so likewise each Christian has his unique gift and expertise in the kingdom. Too often a believer will look at or compare himself with a fellow believer and think himself either greatly inferior or even question his salvation altogether. God warns us against such actions. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. 2 Corinthians 10:12. The general consensus is that this is condemning those who consider themselves to be superior in their service and think of themselves more highly than others. However, the principle may be applicable to those that think themselves to be nothing, and when comparing themselves to others who seemingly are extremely blessed in their service and abound with talents. This is wrong. If there is any evaluation to be done, one should assess his life based on what he used to be in comparison to where he is presently. In other words, we adopt the sentiments of John Newton, the author of the song Amazing Grace. Quote, "I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world. But still, I am not what I once used to be. By the grace of God, I am that I am." That is a quote that I found on the internet under the Goodreads site. Yes, the Scriptures exhort us to examine ourselves especially prior to partaking of the Lord's Supper, so that we do not partake of it unworthily. See 1 Corinthians 11:28-29. As a side note, allow me to stress that the passage does not teach that we are to examine ourselves if we should partake of the Lord's Supper or not. No, the text declares that one is to examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Yes, listen to the words of John Newton as quoted by Arthur Pink in a previous podcast. "Alas, these my golden expectations have been like South Sea dreams. I have lived hitherto a poor sinner, and I believe I shall die one. Have I then gained nothing? Yes, I have gained that which I once would rather have been without, such accumulated proof of the deceitfulness and desperate wickedness of my heart as I hope by God's blessing has, in some measure, taught me to know what I mean when I say, behold, I am vile. I was ashamed of myself when I began to serve Him. I am more ashamed of myself now. And I expect to be most ashamed of myself when he comes to receive me to himself. But oh, I rejoice in him that he is not ashamed of me. Ah, as the Christian grows in grace, he grows more and more out of love with himself." That's found in Pink's book, The Doctrine of Sanctification, on page 124. Yes, John Newton saw himself to be a great sinner. but he also recognized that the Lord made a change in him by the grace of God so that he was not the person he used to be. Yes, by the grace of God he could say, I am what I am. He confessed at the same time that he was not what he once used to be, and that too was by the grace of God. Therefore, dear one, as we study the growth of the believer and the life of sanctification, do not think that we are meaning living a sinless life or that every child of grace is going to appear the same. The life of a believer is a struggle. It has been likened to a person climbing a mountain, and on this way to the summit, he passes through many valleys and crosses many peaks. But overall, from the base to the top of the mountain, there is an overall line of upward progression. Yes, the Christian has many struggles and setbacks from the time of his regeneration, but he continues to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as he lives in this body of sin. As stated in a previous podcast, the Lord adapts each and every experience in life to chastisement so that we might be partakers of his holiness, Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 14. With this foundation established, let us look at a few verses that encourage, exhort, or confirm that sanctification is not an afterthought on the part of God, but it is included in his salvation as ordained before the world was. There are so many passages that it is extremely difficult to know where to start, and obviously there will be many passages that will come to your mind that I will overlook or simply omit. Nevertheless, please be patient with my inabilities and lack of insight as we endeavor to study a few texts relating to the subject of sanctification. However, if there were no scripture to investigate regarding this matter, the words of John Bunyan are apropos in his essay on practical Christian holiness entitled, A Holy Life, The Beauty of Christianity. He wrote as follows, They that name the name of Christ should depart from iniquity because the very profession of that name is holy. The profession is an holy profession. Be ye clean that bears the vessels of the Lord, the vessels, that is, the profession, or by that is, as it were, carried about the name and gospel of Jesus Christ. We must therefore lay aside all iniquity and superfluity of naughtiness, and do as persons perfecting godliness, as professing a profession that Christ is the priest of, yea, the high priest of. That is 1 Timothy 2:10 and Hebrews 3:1. It is a reproach to any man to be but a bungler at his profession, to be but a sloven in his profession. And it is the honor of a man to be excellent in the managing of his profession. Christians should be excellent in the management of their profession, and should make that which is good in itself good to the church and to the world by sweet and cleaning managing of it. That's from the works of John Bunyan, Volume 3, page 313. Though it is difficult to know which passage to address at this time, allow me to direct your attention to Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This verse clearly states that we are made or fashioned by God and created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Dear believer, you are who you are and what you are because God formed you and shaped you in Christ Jesus. You were not only chosen in Christ before the world, Ephesians 1:4, but you were chosen for a purpose, to be holy and without blame before God. As our text affirms, this includes good works. In other words, when we were elected before the creation of the world, we were also ordained by God to walk in good works. You see, beloved, the only reason you're not living like the world is because God determined from the beginning that He would not only regenerate you, but He would work in you by the Holy Spirit so that your walk and conduct would not be according to the course of this world. Too often salvation is presented as an individual element or components left to the believer as to whether he will live in them or not. Thankfully, God does not leave it up to us independently to live the Christian life or not. No, God from the beginning not only chose us for salvation, but He equally ordained our lives accordingly so that we reside in His salvation from the beginning to the end. Often the objection is presented that the verse says that we should walk in them, and not that we will walk in them. However, the should has the same intensity as should in Ephesians 1:4 and John 3:16. It is the should of certainty rather than the should of uncertainty or unlikely to happen. In fact, the Greek scholar A.T. Robertson, commenting on this, said, quote, "Good works by us were included in the eternal foreordination by God," end of quote. Even the Greek word proetomizo, translated "hath before ordained," sets forth the concept that the elect will walk in good works. Albert Barnes said of this, quote, "The word here used occurs in the New Testament nowhere else except in Romans 9:23, where it is rendered had before prepared. It involves the idea of a previous determination or an arrangement beforehand for securing a certain result. The previous preparation here referred to was the divine intention, and the meaning is that God had predetermined that we should lead holy lives. It accords, therefore, with the declaration of in Ephesians 1:4 that He had chosen His people before the foundation of the world that they should be holy." End of quote. That's from the computer Bible program Sword Searcher. Many other quotes could be supplied to affirm this interpretation of this verse, but I will close with one other from the commentary of John Gill. It is as follows. His comment on which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them is, "or has before prepared for the preparation of good works to be performed by saints, and the preparation of them for the performance of them or from the Lord. God has appointed good works to be done by His people, and in this word He has declared what they are He would have done. And it is His will not only that they should do them, but continue to do them. Not only that they should do a single act or more, but walk in them. Their conversation and course of life should be one continued series of good works. But the intention is not that they should be saved by them, but that they should walk in them. And this being the preordination of God, as it shows that predestination is not according to good works, since good works are the fruits and effects of it, so likewise that it is no licentious doctrine, seeing it provides for the performance of good works as well as secures grace and glory." This concludes our study for today. Farewell.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Baptist Perspective. We archive our episodes so you can go back anytime and listen again. Do you have a question about something you've heard? or just want to let us know you're listening, visit us at BaptistPerspective.wordpress.com. That's BaptistPerspective.wordpress.com. Thanks again for listening.